When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Tech Talk is underway on this Saturday. Doug Swinhart is in for the entire hour. My name is Steve Thompson, our producer, Lindsey Brown. And if you want to join us on the program, easy way to do it, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. If you call in, you'll visit with Lindsey. She'll put you through. If you text, that'll come right into the studio, and we will put you on the air quickly. So if you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever. And Doug, I want to start the show getting into something that I've run into, and it is very unusual. And I don't know what it could be. And the IT guys at work were busy, but I'm working along, and I have a Windows laptop. And I have a second monitor, et cetera, pretty standard setup. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, I will lose an internet connection. And the only way to get it back is to close all the windows and reboot. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
And intermittent things like that. Your IT people, and I'm sure they're checking this.
Yep.
But network collisions are pretty common when you've got a series of routers and hubs and switches. And administering those are a little bit more complex than a lot of people realize. And I think if you really were able to see all the traffic within your local area network, there you would discover, sooner or later, you would discover a pattern. And once you find that pattern, you should be able to isolate it. But random things like this are happening more and more on the internet and with all networking, wired and wireless. If a machine receives what's known as a dirty packet, the packet is not complete. So it's fragmented. Whatever server receives it just sends it off to the same path it came from and where it was meant to go. Alleviating them of the problem. It's kind of like what we lived with in Minnesota when people north of us would fix the flood situation, we'd get more water. And that's kind of what we're all dealing with today with the flow of dirty packets. It's difficult. Now, something else you might want to try, and I'm sure they probably already have done this. I've seen network cables at the end user that run, and all of a sudden just do something weird like you got going on. It could be a cable. It could be that simple.
Yeah.
I doubt if it's your computer. I really do.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is one of the things I did, and you and I have talked about this, and I think this is a good place to start. You know, when in doubt, reboot, start there. And we've really established that. I think most computer users know that. If things are weird, close the programs, make sure you save your work, and then restart the computer. And that is certainly a good place to start. And then beyond that, check all the connections. If you have a wired mouse, plug it in, unplug it. All the connections to your computer. Power, especially Ethernet, and go all the way back and unplug that. Dirt can get in there. It can come loose. There are all sorts of weird things. Resetting cables, though, is really a good start. I tried that, so I had to elevate it. And I try to be a good user in that respect and not bother these people if there's certain things that I can try first.
That really tells me that you're an educated user, especially in a network situation. Yeah. That's because, let's face it, with the internet and local area networks, whether people like it or not, we are our brother's keeper. The better their computer runs, the better we run. We're all in this together. I don't know a better way to put it. But in addition to this, you know, this changing of the cables and just plugging in, replugging it, I mean, it's enormous what you can repair. I would have to ask, this issue that you're having with losing the internet, is this happening frequently?
I would say as of late, once or twice a day.
So the condition is actually accelerating as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's accelerating, but once it started, it's been a pretty regular pattern. And once again, they're dealing with a couple other things right now that are higher priority. And I talked to someone at the help desk, and they said, hey, if rebooting works right now, it's on our radar. We have a couple other fish to fry. And I think it has to do with them reworking the switches, etc. They've had a couple problems with those Wi-Fi transmitters that they're reworking. I think that's all interconnected. So I don't want to be that guy that say, I'm not going to do my work till you get it fixed. You just kind of plow through and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So, well, one thing that I would say, you know, everything you're saying, and then two, what a lot of system administrators are dealing with today is, well, it's time to update this piece of equipment. Well, they put that piece of equipment in. Well, it doesn't quite gel as good with the older equipment.
Sure.
We're dealing with a lot of that today. One thing that I would have you do on your end is when you're at your machine, just open up a command window and just open up, just hit your Windows key and the R key, and that'll bring up a run window, and type in CMD, Curtis Matthew David, and press Enter. That'll bring up a DOS box. And type in ipconfig, ipconfig, and press Enter. And check to see what your IP4, version 4, what the address is. And all you need is that last three subset. And when you have this issue, and you pull that up, it's very possible that a device higher level of privilege than your workstation is robbing your IP address. I've seen that a lot lately too. If your administrator said, "Well, let's give you a static IP for a week and see what happens," or "Let's lock Windows into using a specific IP address for the domain name servers," that would have been a quick, easy fix for them to at least try. A lot of people are having that type of confusion with DHCP, Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, where you plug in a device, there's a DHCP server in the network, and it issues an IP address. Well, then somebody else comes along with a higher priority, and they reboot that machine or they start that machine, and it takes the IP address while your machine is idle. That I see a lot of that going on too.
Very interesting.
When you once figure it out, you go, "Well, God, that was easy."
See,
fixing these things are simple. Finding out what to fix is the difficulty.
Yeah, and I might give you a call during the week when I'm at work and play around, just because I'm trying to learn something about a problem that seems counterintuitive. It's like, hey, my Ethernet cable's plugged in. I have Wi-Fi as a backup. That's all working. What could be going on here? And drilling a little bit deeper is certainly a good one. And by the way, we want to help you out on the program today. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is open, 651-461-9226. A little bit later on in the program, we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We'll talk Timberwolves and Wild. They're playing well on the road. They're out on the West Coast right now. Both teams are. And we have a lot of college football scores. D2, D3 playoffs, St. John's, Bethel, Bemidji State, Minnesota State, Mankato, all in action today. So that is coming up later on in the program. Doug, one other thing we brought up was a week ago, and speaking of work, people, if they work in businesses large and small, if they are using a computer as part of their work, they are subject to training and training videos, and that is to avoid phishing attacks, unleashing malware or ransomware on the network, etc. And the business is trying to protect themselves and protect their employees via this training. But the one thing I have seen is that people who are maybe retired or don't work in an environment where they are subjected to this online training to avoid fraud. And once again, that's phishing with the PH, and ransomware attacks and all sorts of other evil deeds. There is a lot of good material out there, and you spent some time this week taking a look at it. And we, going forward, want to make recommendations. There is a lot of material out there to help people learn.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I think, too, that people don't realize that the baby boomers, 70% of seniors, are on the internet today. But, you know, when you say something like that to, like, my grandchildren, they go, well, what's the other 30% doing? You know, how can they not be on the internet? They just don't grasp the fact that, you know, a lot of these people were brought up in an era where computers, on a subconscious level, we were actually bombarded with branding that said, oh, that's a computer. That's not meant for mere mortals to touch. And IBM is a little bit responsible for that in order to build value in their products and service. And it almost put them out of business. When people got ready to go buy a PC, we go be looking at NECs and Compaqs and Epsons. And, well, there's that IBM. Oh, I can't touch that IBM. And you don't see IBM home computers anymore. And I think this is the large reason for this. So we've got a generational thing going on where they're struggling with something that was pounded into their subconscious mind, and it takes a while to overcome. Now, the next part is when you stop and you consider, well, why are they targeting seniors? Well, first of all, they're limited somewhat with their knowledge with security and safety issues on the internet. They haven't been raised with it. They weren't born with it. It came upon a lot of them in the last 5 or 10 years. And they feel like they're not going to catch up, and they don't really want to become programmers, but they still see the value of the computers with FaceTime and whatnot. Next, all these scam guys are smart, smart individuals, and they are utilizing public information so they know who's got the retirement accounts. I mean, that's all public information. And so now they're at home, they're really not much aware, and in addition to that, these scammers and phishers and bad actors on the internet, they are trading the lists of names for people that have already been victims. And, well, these people will do it. Here's their weakness. So this information trade, this makes seniors a priority target for these guys. So, yeah, and the only way we're going to stop this nonsense is to cut off their funds. And the only way to do that is educate people, even if it requires one at a time. One of the best sites that I found is the Attorney General's office in Minnesota. And there's just a plethora. And I've assembled a whole bunch of websites. And if people want these web addresses, just send an email to swinhart@proton.me. And in fact, I'll just do another email for that. I'll announce it and send out a thing. And we'll send them right out. I got a whole list of them.
Yeah.
I don't want people to feel over inundated. And it's going to be difficult that they don't. Just take your time. Take it slow. Hour a day. Within a week or so, your confidence will start to build. And you'll get on top of this in no time at all.
Right.
None of it's difficult. You just never have been told what it is.
Yeah. And I think what's so important about this is, once again, for those of us in a workplace that puts out these training videos, and we do it here at Odyssey, the parent company of WCCO Radio, and we do it at my full-time job in the printing business, and it is training videos on the do's and don'ts and what to look for. And this is invaluable training. It's things we talk about here on the radio week in and week out. For instance, emails. It can look legit. Be very wary of attachments. You have no idea what trouble you can unleash by clicking on an attachment. Or someone calls out of the blue. Phishing, once again, starting with PH, looking for information. Be very careful what you share and what you give. And these videos aren't to scare, strictly to inform, so you can learn about, really, ultimately, what the latest scams are and how the bad guys are going about to get at you and your information and, you know, ultimately, your money.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Steve, I can't tell you how the number of seniors that I get a call and they feel ashamed. They feel like they're embarrassed that they even let this happen. And I got to tell them, I tell them right up front, what you got to realize is honest people can be taken. Why? Because we are honest and we basically trust others. You got to get a little bit thick-skinned here with this internet stuff because you got to question things. A little bit of cynicism is going to help, really. And never, ever feel guilty when you're the victim. These people are professionals at extracting dollars. They know all the right words. That this is what they do for a living. If they're going to make money at it, they got to be good. And that plus the fact that they may be saying things that somebody told them and they believe it to be true. Well, it's hard to detect a lie then. So people have confidence. Okay, yeah. Just and never, ever let people connect to your computer unless you know who they are. I use remote control quite a bit. And I tell people, when I'm done, we're going to disconnect. Nobody's going to have access to your computer, not even me. That's just the way it should be.
Yeah.
And but to have somebody come in and take control of your computer that you don't know, oh my, no way. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and by the
we'll
way,
get we'll- in there.
Yeah, by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email again at the end of the program. But, you know, once again, we don't want people to be overwhelmed or frightened. I think getting at these resources and this video training so you can kind of go through and see step by step how to protect yourself online. And certainly it also talks about phone calls, something you might get in the mail. Just things to be aware of. Quick break. We've got more Tech Talk with Doug coming up. And you can reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And that number, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And we'll jump into the text line in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it is Tech Talk, and by the way, all our Tech Talk episodes are archived at WCCRadio.com, and we invite and encourage you to download those podcasts and take a listen. A lot of great material, a lot of great evergreen from previous shows, that things that you can use and learn from. By the way, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is available, 651-461-9226. And Doug, let's get started before the bottom of the hour weather break. I purchased an Acer Chromebook Pro because my Windows 10 machine won't be supported in the future. I use Security Essentials and it worked fine. Will this Chromebook have a built-in software program, or do I have to install? What would you recommend? And I think by a software program, like some sort of malware or virus protection.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary. Google's taking care of all that with the Chromebooks. That's one of the huge advantages of buying a Chromebook, is when they first came out, Google was actually selling them by saying, always new, always up to date. As soon as you turn it on, the servers that you are connecting to are checking your files to make sure that you're up to date and clean, and they'll take care of it during the boot. So it's really not necessary. This, I think, is one of the biggest advantages to a Chromebook. If your use is minimal and you really don't want to learn a whole lot of stuff, this is the way to go. This is, in my opinion, well, there's really no reason to add anything. In fact, I don't even think there's anything available as far as I know. Could be, but it just wouldn't be useful at this point.
Yeah, you know, and Doug, about Chromebooks, we've talked about it for a long time, and I've owned a few. I still have my original Chromebook up and running. Now, Now some sites are getting a little goofy on it, and I know at some point in time I won't be able to use it. I get that. They will become obsolete, and the operating system won't update. But for the money spent, I still say, of any piece of technology, and I've had good luck with iPhones as well, it's right there with the iPhone as far as the bang for the buck you get and the quality of the equipment. Now, once again, you get what you pay for with monitors. I'll say that again. Mm-hmm. But I've had a couple of HPs. I have an Asus Chromebook. They're just worth their weight in gold. You know, you get these things for $200 to $300, and they run and they run and they run. And by the way, if I spill a Diet Coke on it, it's not the end of the world.
The machine at this point doesn't owe you a dime.
No, Doug, honestly, I'm just a big fan of this equipment for how I use it in a certain environment. If I take it to a game or some sort of other event, I brought it out to the fair for years. It's hard to beat for the dollar spent and what you get out of the machine and what I use it for. Really, as an internet appliance, it's ideal.
Yeah, and ease of use. Yeah. And here's something that should surprise you, that when Google brought some of the Chromebooks to end of life, they weren't going to update them anymore. They got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. People went wild. They thought that they should be updating them forever for them. So that's really what's happening. Now, you should also know that every Chromebook I have had in my office, I was able to, once they're on end of life, I was able to get them installed with a light version of Linux. So it's when you think that one's done, it will give it another life. Well, it really will.
And Doug, I promise I'm getting close on the original, and I'm going to send it your way and see what we can do with it. That'll be a fun one to talk about on future shorts.
Rumor has it, by the way, that Google is going to offer these updates for some ridiculous low price, like $20 a year, and just let you keep it. We haven't seen it yet, but I'll bet they're going to do this.
Yeah, why not? The hardware is still in pretty good shape. I've kept it clean. I've kept it dry. I've kept it cool. All important things when it comes to hardware. 3:31, 29 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. It is Tech Talk with Doug. Here's that StylesFinancial.com talk and text line if you want to join us on the show. 651-461-9226. When we come back, we have a text about VPNs. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that again. A very hot topic as of late. But first, a break for the weather here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us each and every Saturday between 3 and 4, sports schedules permitting. And before you know it, that'll become a factor with the start of spring training in March. Before you know it, pitchers and catchers, what are we, about 6-7 weeks from that happening? Crazy how time flies. By the way, baseball's winter meetings get started next week. All right, Doug, we want to go to the phones, and we have George waiting on the line. George, you're on Tech Talk. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So that was the guy who was asking about Chromebook, and actually that was a Black Friday deal, and they actually offered a one-year subscription to McAfee for that thing. The way you sound, I probably shouldn't even bother installing that then.
No, I wouldn't do it. Now, if you're running a Chrome OS, nah. That's going to be more geared towards your email and that kind of stuff. But it's just that kind of thing. Just really, it takes resources from that machine, and you want speed. The faster your computer runs, the longer it's going to last, and the better it's going to run. Just the opposite of mechanics. So yes, it's I wouldn't bother. That's more of a marketing gimmick. It's probably going to be put you right on an elevator until you do their identity thing. And I don't know if they're qualified to do that. A lot of these people are selling stuff that isn't yet complete. And they, even in a new machine. And by the way, Google today is struggling since they've gone public. They're a hurting unit. So it's hard to tell what kind of marketing things they'll come up with. But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't recommend
Thanks.
It. You'd agree with that, right?
Thank you. I won't install.
yeah. Thanks, George, for the call. Yeah, with the Chromebook, here's the beauty of it. And, you know, Doug and I, who bought this equipment over the years, we don't take a nickel from them, and I want to point that out straight up. What I really liked about it, and when we first talked about it, and I bought the first Chromebook I ever did, and it's sitting right in front of me, is the fact that I literally took it out of the box, and I already had a Gmail account. That's certainly important. Mm-hmm. And I was in, and I was up and running. And you kind of play around and learn how to use Drive and some of those other features. Now, it's not for everyone. I get that. But for what I've needed it for over the years and how I use it, once again, I don't use a Chromebook at my full-time job during the week. I have a company-provided Windows machine tied into the network and all the various software we need. That's a different deal. But for my home use, it's just about all I need. And I think for a lot of users, it's going to fit the bill at a very low price point. Because Doug and I, you have talked about it. When you have a lot of money in a MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro or an HP business machine, you can have a lot of money tied up in that, and you're worried about the hardware. The worry isn't as great with the Chromebook. If it gets dropped or it breaks, it's a bummer, but you're not out the big chunk of change.
That's right. And, you know, I would venture to say, and this is just a pure out of the air, no factual data to back it, but my guess would be that 80%, and I think that's even conservative, 80% of home users would get along just fine with a Chrome machine. And they come with a desktop as well. or you just buy a little bit upgraded laptop and plug it into your TV and get a wireless keyboard and mouse, and you're good to go. These things are very, very valuable. There's a reason that most of the schools have gone to the Chromebooks, and it's durability and ease of use, and there's really nothing to learn on them. And if you need a word processor and all that, you can download and install LibreOffice and have the entire suite. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you can't add software to these. You can. They're a tremendous value.
Yeah, and they have a little hard drive, so you can download some files and keep some files there, not a ton, but you also get the drive space. And as far as brands go, my wife's had a couple of HPs. I've had a couple of HPs. I think about all the Chromebooks that we have laying around. And what's great about it is that it really is all about your login and your Gmail account to get in and then get at your drive and all of your other folders, if you will, on that machine. What it ultimately is an appliance. And there's other Asus makes Chromebooks. And once again, it gets back to what we've said about all hardware. Go to your favorite retailer, wherever that is, and play around with them.
Yeah.
Get a feel for the keyboard and the monitors.
Well, absolutely. I think that's one of the most important factors, especially if you are buying a netbook, a notebook, or a smaller device. And, you know, a desktop, yeah, you can replace the keyboard if it isn't big enough, or if it's too big, you want a smaller one. You can replace this as you go forward, a monitor, and everything. But a laptop, you're going to be carrying, and especially the way you're using yours, Steve, a Chromebook is perfect. Yeah, this thing can just bang, and you trust it, and it's reliable. And when you're going out to set up someplace at the Met Center or at a high school to do an announcing, whatever, you're there. You don't have time to have downtime. You have to have a machine you can rely on. I couldn't have suggested a better machine than a Chromebook. They're just there. And especially if you're connecting to remotely to the station like you are, it's perfect. Just can't do any better.
Yeah, so it is something to take a look at. Not for everybody, but can fill certainly a lot of void. Doug, we have some on our text line. By the way, if you want to reach your show, stylesfinancial.com, talk and text line 651-461-9226. This is a big question, and we want to get your thoughts before our next break. And then a little bit later on in the show, an external hard drive and the best way to access what's on that external hard drive without actually jeopardizing what's on that external hard drive. But first, VPNs. I have an Android phone, a Chromebook, an HP desktop. Do I need to use a VPN at all times in certain situations? What do you recommend with a VPN? And if people aren't familiar, maybe you want to start with what it is.
Yeah, a virtual private network. And people it originally was to link business offices together. It was a virtual private network. It was private. You could share files and all that stuff across town or across states or across countries. But what's happened as of late is they've taken this same process and they brought it down. And instead of connecting locations, they set up the same type of technology within one machine or a network or whatever. And you get this extra layer of protection because it's rearranging your IP address. It's not displaying your location. You're almost invisible on the internet, almost. And it's huge. It's absolutely huge. I wouldn't suggest people invest a ton of money in this until they know how it works and really what they do. And keep in mind, Proton has a free one. You can have it for free forever. And if you do buy it, it's dirt cheap. It's cheaper than the rest. That's all I'm using now is Proton VPN. I've got mine installed in my router. So anybody that comes in the house, they log on to the guest network. They're already behind the VPN, and they won't infect my network, and they can't become infected, and they can't send anything from their machine that is an infection, which is very rare today. But I like the whole place location because you're not fooling around configuring it on every machine. You just do it once, and you're done. Now, it takes a special router. So I've got my Xfinity modem brings in my signal. Next device is my VPN router where I control the VPN. I don't think I've looked at that router for probably 3 months at this point, Steve. Is it? Once you get them set up, just leave them alone. And they're, and that also serves as the Wi-Fi connection throughout the house as well. It's. I think VPNs are coming to an end. They've had their day, and a lot of people will have issues with these things, with the streaming services, and they'll, like Netflix and Amazon and all of them. And they're not doing this to harm you. They would love to let you keep your VPN, but the problem is when they made contracts with how they're going to supply the content. So the movie makers, the movie industry, and all this, they want to know where that location is coming from. They can't do it with a VPN. So they'll recommend to people, well, just shut off your VPN. I don't recommend that. Find out a way to give them the information, and so you, they know you're safe and you're good to go. Proton delivers a list of IP addresses that they're protecting to all of the streaming services. I don't deal with that anymore. All right. That's huge. But nonetheless, now they're talking about the best protection being reverse DNSing, and it's changing so fast that I'm just not sure if it would be a good investment. And it depends on how you use the internet. If you are going to a lot of gambling sites, for example, if you're a gamer, if you have small children for some reason are being targeted, that kind of thing. But these sites are they're taking care of themselves. I foresee that to dry up real quick. And then, of course, seniors are targeted. But if you're a good user and you pay attention to what's coming in your email, and you don't open up attachments that you don't know where they came from, and you're not falling for the list. Oh, here, your account says you got $3,000. We'd like to pay you that. Well, people used to jump on that. As soon as you click that link, they got you. Yeah. You got to be a little bit cynical. If you're a good user, you really don't need it. You really don't. Now, nonetheless, it's a good thing to have. Just don't get too carried away with the money.
All right. Quick break. We'll come back. External hard drives in the spotlight and an old Windows 7 machine before we say goodbye and the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line still available to you is 651-461-9226. By the way, all the news and weather at 4, then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It has been another quick hour of Tech Talk. Steve and Doug here. All the news and weather at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. The Wild are rolling again. They blew out the Ducks. Timberwolves win big at Golden State. Stayed up late for both of those last night. And then much more in a big day at college football championship games today at the FBS level. FCS playoffs continue today, plus D2 and D3 playoffs, round number 3 today. 4 area teams in action with game reports and more later on in the program. All right, Doug, let's get right to it and back to our text line. This is a good one. Information, moving it from an external hard drive when I plug it into my new computer to put it on the new computer, but to ultimately make sure I don't do anything dumb and delete it off the external hard drive.
Yeah, I show people how to open up 2 Windows Explorer windows, one up in the upper left-hand corner of your monitor, one in the lower right-hand corner. The upper left-hand is my source files.
That would be the external hard drive, for instance.
Yes, yes. Yep. And so you just, if you start that way, and the first time people say, well, that's pretty simple. Yeah, but you watch. You will get to a point where if you get overconfident, I've done it, and you just throw open a couple of windows and you forget which way they are, you can easily overwrite your data easily. So, or delete it. And make sure, too, another pitfall here is if you're using a mouse right-click, which most people do, I got my hard drive open up in the upper left-hand corner, and I'll put my mouse up there, and I'll shade all the files under Documents, for example. And then I'll right-click on that so I can go down and select Copy, not Cut, and then I go over to the source, already got that folder open, the Documents, right-click and paste. If you really analyze that right-click window, copy and cut are right next to each other. People have been begging Microsoft to separate those, if nothing else, by a black line for decades. I don't know why it hasn't been done. It would make so much sense to just separate them. Just put a little space in there. You get working, and it's easy to hit cut instead of copy. Oh. And then you still got one copy. Hopefully you do the paste, but if the phone rings and you get busy and you're talking about it, you may forget to paste it. Now it's gone. That's really that's as big a pitfall as anything, I think.
Yeah,
and I hope that helps.
Yeah, and Doug, is there an automated program that can pull something across for you and save a copy on the external hard drive? Is there something you might recommend to just say, hey, I want everything from the external put onto my new computer?
Well, it's not quite that simple. See, that's the problem. People are looking for that. I just want to plug it in and walk away. After I have lunch, it'll be done. I find that the copy and paste method is probably less difficult than buying a program, installing it, learning how to use this program, and then hoping that it does exactly what you want it to do. Here, you've got control of your data. And it's a good chance for you to learn about files and extensions and what pathing is, why it's important, and how the computer actually looks at your file system. There's no right or wrong to how you create this file system. There really isn't. It's your file system. At the same time, there's no reason to spend money that's going to create more work for you. And this copy and paste function, this is computers 101. Okay. Everybody should be proficient with this.
All right. And Doug, before we run out of time, I want to get into a couple of quick ones.
Sure.
They have an older HP desktop with Windows 7. Is it worth keeping it? I know your answer.
Absolutely. You know, recycle, recycle, recycle. Let's not pollute anymore. Should be a song. Turn it into a Linux machine. You use it as a test machine. You can download Chromium operating system. Play with that. Test it. Don't throw it away. It's good stuff. Solid-state circuitry should last many, many years. And keep it and make use of it. It's a big feather in your cap just saving the earth. Not to mention, you don't have to worry about your hard drive with data on it because it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. And a Linux machine, that thing will run for years and be a really nice internet appliance. I mean, you'll be able to safe and secure. Finally, we've got about 30 seconds. What's the best way to store digital photos in perpetuity and for easy access? What's your favorite program for photos?
Oh, I put it up in the clouds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Proton gives me 500 gigabytes. 500 gigabytes. Well, I'll never run out of space. Me and 35 other people probably shouldn't run out of space with that amount. That is the cream de la creme. Also, you should know that Seagate has special drives that they've come out with that are long-term storage. They give a 10-year warranty on these drives and it's a data warranty. So, yeah, they've shifted gears, and it makes sense. If it's that important, you're going to pay a little bit more, but you'll have it. But I would have an external copy and up in the cloud. But cloud storage is your best bet.
All right, Doug, quickly, your phone number and email.
Thank you, 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin@wccotech.com. And I'll have that other email address up for you soon, Steve.
All right, and we'll do that on the show next week for those training videos that people should really take a look at. The news and weather in a moment here on the CCO.